Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the program. I'm your host, Michelle Mache, co-pilot. How's everybody doing? I want to say hi to everybody in the chat room, Sacred Space of Empowerment room as well, my co-host, co-pilots. Let me know how the sound is going. We've got the chat up. And we're going to have a really great program today. I'm excited to tell you a little bit about the second half of the program. We have Carl Johan Kelman will be on. You can reach him or find out more at kelleman.com, C-A-L-L-E-M-A-N. And Carl, he's been on before. Some of you may remember him. He has a book out called The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. He holds a PhD in physical biology from the University of Stockholm. He's got a background in environmental science, toxicology, cancer research, and he's given lectures all around the world, including MIT and Cornell, as well as he's done work through the Chinese Academy of Preventive Medicine and the World Health Organization. He's spoken there as well. And he's got 4 books based on the Mayan calendar, and his viewpoint is that the Mayan calendar is about the evolution of consciousness rather than astronomical phenomena. In other words, he's focusing on consciousness, and hence his latest book, The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. So anyway, look forward to him at the second half of the program. As always, call in for readings, to chat, to say hi. Oh, we got lots of callers. Yay, already. I see callers on the line. If you do want to call in, this number is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad to get in queue. That's 347-539-5122. And press 1. So lots of energy changes right now. Actually, I've got workers coming in and out of my house, and this will be interesting. Gorgeous day in Southern California. Yoshi's on the patio underneath the seat. Hello, Yosh, underneath the patio furniture, relaxing. It's actually kind of warmish. And this weekend, we're going to have 80, 81 degrees, and I will be sailing. So I'll post some pics on Facebook and Instagram this weekend of me sailing. I love being on the water, and and I love it quiet. Usually we go with people that there's a little tussle of music, loud music, and everyone, you know how much I love dancing and I love music, but in its right place. I don't mind it on the boat as well, but I just love being out there and just on the water. It's so meditative. And just looking out over the horizon and just seeing no land, but peace, calm, and possibilities. You know, I do a meditation, too, at the end of the back of the boat. My boyfriend said, what are you doing there? And I said, I like just getting to the back of the boat and looking where I've been and contemplating that. And it's a wonderful meditation, a wonderful exercise wherever you are, walking, walk backwards, look where you've been. Sometimes I'll stand in a room, specifically either my living room or kitchen or my healing room, and I'll just look at what I have and where I am in relation to where I am now. It brings for me up a lot of appreciation, a lot of gratitude. I think a lot of times we don't give ourselves enough credit for just how far we've come and what we do. Think about your day, what it takes you to get through the day, all the things that you do to bring you to where you are now, you know, regardless of mistakes that you feel that you've made, whether you think you should be more somewhere or somewhere else or less here or more there. up more, down more, whatever. But to really look and see, because where you are now took a lot to get there. And you're working on your consciousness, you're working on your emotional patterns, allowing yourself to be more you, to really connect with the truth, more the truth of who you are. And not only is that a great thing, but I think every now and then you have to really contemplate it, because then you will see that you are actually doing a quote unquote, not just good, but great job. It takes a lot to live. You know, living is not for the faint of heart. You know, it takes a lot. Even if you have all the cushy in the world, you're still going to have not just issues come up, but growth, areas of uncertainty, and just to keep, to maintain your life, to keep things going. So anyway, let me know how that contemplation goes. Email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com and let me know. In fact, I'd love to hear from you guys. You can post it on my Awakenings Radio page on Facebook, Awakenings with Michelle Mache. That's with one L in Michelle. Or if you go to two L's with Michelle, that will take you to my personal page. So, you know, connect with me on both of them, if you will. Sometimes on my quote-unquote friend page, it's sometimes easier to see the posts. Somehow the Awakenings Radio page, the posts, I don't know why Facebook changed this a while back, but when people post, you know, it goes to the side, you know, instead of just right on the page, you know, which is just, that to me keeps the interaction more if it's right on the side. But what have I done anything about that? Talk to them, email? No. Just tossing it out into the world now. Which, by the way, I want to get to something, but first, I want to please ask people to email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com and let me know how you've shifted, how Awakenings has impacted your life. We're doing something for the expansion of Awakenings, working with the production team, and they'd like to hear. It will be all confidential. I won't be forwarding the names or email addresses unless you want me to. But standard as a rule, I won't. But they just want to see what kinds of shifts people have made, or how is Awakenings impacting people's lives, whether you got a reading from me, some soul insights, some, you know, questions answered, maybe I helped you with meditation or explained something, or maybe you took some of the stuff that you've been learning here from me, what I've been sharing, and used it to positively impact your life and relationships, especially. It's a lot of relationship advice. So let me know. We'd love to have that. And also, I'm so super, super excited. I am doing another workshop. I'm not doing a teleworkshop this month. I'll be starting back again next month, and then we will be getting on a regular basis. It may be every 2 months. We'll have to see how it unfolds. I am doing a sound workshop with Michelle Burke. She was on the program before. Some of you may have heard me talk about her. I love the sound work that she does, a sequence. She does a systematic sequence working with the chakras. And not just to relax, but also to release. So we're going to be doing a workshop together. I'm going to be doing the shamanic interplane work and setting up the Crystal Temple of Healing. We'll be doing grid work and deep, deep transformative shamanic work. And she will be accompanying with her sound work, and then do the sound sequence with her Tibetan healing bowls. She also works with tuning forks and some other things. And we're going to also show you what you can do at home on your own to keep vibrationally fit. And the whole idea of this workshop, and I want to hopefully at some point do a series of them, is really to assist in this activation and initiation period that we're in right now. We have a gateway portal of light coming May, June, which is going to be a very, very strong one, powerful one. The last one was pretty powerful that came in December to about end of January. But the May, June will even be more. We have a lot of, astrologically, we have a lot of fire signs engaged. So there's a trine or triangle of fire. And what I see, if you look at the Merkaba, as above, as so below, that triangle of fire is pushing everyone to the soul alignment, pushing everyone to live more authentically, pushing everyone to do the soul alignment where the personality fuses with the soul. The soul comes down into the personality more. So you're going to probably see a lot of wounding, a lot of relationship stuff come up for people, and relationship stuff for yourself. Where am I going? What do I need? Fighting yourself. I've had some little mini sort of meltdowns myself, quiet meltdowns, but still, where I've been very triggered. So there'll be a lot of trigger. And what's interesting, I was going through, and sometime I will make these public, we're going through a lot of my content. That's one of the things I'm having people help me do. Anyone out there wants to help, edit, get stuff out there, there could be a place for you. Right now we're doing it on an internship basis, but as the funds come in, we will be having some paid positions. Just put that out there. To find out more information about the healing workshop, go to sound-healing.eventbrite.com. That's sound-healing.eventbrite.com. And I will put that, I'm very picky with who I bring on board to work with. Since, you know, this has been a way of life for me. This is not just something I've been doing for 2 or 3 years or 6 years or 10 years. Coming in as an empath, natural intuitive, a channeler, coming in before people even talked about what channeling was, working with the oversouls and the spiritual hierarchy, not only training and working around the world, psychologically, traditionally, but metaphysically, esoterically, shamanically being trained and initiated, in the old paradigm where you work one-on-one with your shamanic teacher. I'm a little picky with what I believe in and good stuff. And her sound healing, a lot of sound healers, which is fine, do a healing that is just about relaxation. You kind of just zone out. Hers, when I did it, plus I knew how to get myself in that state. That's why I want to combine what we both do. I literally felt heat, cold, tingling. Different energy parts within my body, like it was being restructured. I felt energy like moving from my solar plexus, my stomach outward. I felt my legs elongate. So I had a lot of what we call somatics. And those of you that have done the Soul Path Tele workshops with me, you will know when you work with the subtle energy, you feel it within the physical body, because the work that I do not only clears mentally, emotionally, but etherically, it clears on a cellular level. You have to work vibrationally to clear on a cellular level. You can't work just with the mind or just visualizing. You have to get into the subtler energy of the etheric plane. And then, of course, that clears and repatterns your resonance all the way to the DNA, what we call the DNA structure. So I work multidimensionally. So I thought, wow, to bring what she does combined with what I do, that's creating a major breakthrough. Because we've got to, this year, push through connecting into the activation. Allow yourself to be activated. See where you're being activated and initiate change. This is not a year to kind of sit back. It's a year about active, taking, you know, action steps. And you know I usually don't say that. I usually wait, hear, listen, flow. You need to wait. You need to be receptive to the will of the higher self, your higher self, and see what's being placed in front of you, but you have to activate. Anyway, I was going back into some of the old channelings that I had done when I actually allowed people to witness more of the hierarchy coming through, the different aspects that come through me, the different beings of light. And they kept talking about 2015, the major changes from 2015 to 2020, and then again 2025, there'd be a major turning point. And it hit me in my meditation. I was contemplating this yesterday morning, and I said, oh my God, we're there now. It's 2015. Oh my God, it's happening. It seemed so far away when I was channeling, even in the early 2000s, and from, you know, 1995 on, when I was doing this more publicly. And I went, oh my God, this is the time that we were preparing for. We are here now. All of us are here now. So I will be relaying more of that information, insights, giving the guidance, answering your questions to help you really activate in your life to live more soul-connected, soul-led, and to live more abundantly and prosperously. How do you do that? It's by finding what's right for you. So that's what I'm all about. I mean, the insight, the information is in you. The healing is in you. I'm just kind of like a spark, sparking it there, giving a little nudge or guidance. I got the little map. I'm handing it off to everybody. But I really am dedicated, inspired, and focused on this activation for this year and helping you, assisting you, nudging you, guiding you, some of you pushing you to make those changes and take those action steps this year. And the energy supports this. So again, if you want to find information about this, you can go to, of course, www.sound-healing.eventbrite.com. I will be emailing information. Those of you that get the newsletter, I will be emailing information, and of course, putting it on Facebook as well. And if you want more information, you can also email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. And that's also a great place to email me your questions, guest suggestions, anything that you want answered on air. Otherwise, sound-healing.eventbrite.com. Let's see. Sean has a question. Sean emailed me about going to get out of nursing. This is what I'm talking about. Please call in because I'm going to touch on this. And this is what I'm saying. This is so many people are going through this. And then we're going to get to the phone lines. Sean is saying, I'm feeling very strongly that I want out. I have several ideas of different things I would like to do. But I am letting fear of lack of money stop me. And I hesitate to use the word fear because I don't feel scared. And I'm just not sure which direction to go. Also became a vegan 2.5 years ago and have been on such a spiritual exploration since then. Yay, Sean. This aspect of my life has come back to me after being gone for many years. It's come so strong and I'm not sure what to do next. I feel blocked in some ways from connecting to source, even though I know it's always in me. I could use some advice as to how to move my spiritual growth along. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to speak to that for just a second. And then we're going to get to the phone lines and get to your questions really quickly. This is what I'm hearing a lot of. And I will share with you the changes I suggest, the way that I help people bridge, whether through working personally with me or doing the teleworkshops or in-person workshops. If you come on a regular basis, your life will transform. Just worked with somebody last night that maybe you're listening, maybe you're calling, had an issue with a supervisor, I guess. I helped her shift her energy and the perspective to move out of the kind of victim mode and move into the empowerment and see how that person was wounded, even though they're very powerful and mentally, they're in a powerful position and mentally they're, pretty right up there. But whenever there's a power struggle, someone's being triggered. And we did that, and this morning, the whole thing shifted. I got an email, everything shifted, and she didn't have to talk to this person. So that's what I teach. How do we handle things on the inner plane? Sometimes we do have to dialogue, but a lot of times it's our stuff or it's the other person's stuff. And if we shift, if we connect to our empowerment, connect to our higher self, see them and feel them connected to their higher self, see and feel us connected to our higher self, see that they're wounding and even just state it in the mind. As I Ching says, it's a carrier wave out into the universe. That communicates on the inner plane where we know, we name it and claim it. We know what it is. We know what happened. And that gives that person energetically the psychic space, psychic meaning soul, the space to clear things up. Okay? The things to move through it. What I would say is in the case of Sean emailing in, bridging, you start looking at what you're drawn to. Don't worry first about the money. Sometimes you may have to let go of a job that's taking up too much time and energy for a lesser job, a part-time something, while you bridge to something else. But what I would say is this year for everybody, start taking those steps. Take the action. Start working at night, working on the weekends. Look around. Is there something in the field that what you want to work in that you can take a part-time job to kind of move in, you know, go get in the mailroom to get to that next level. That would be one thing that I say. And then you have to work through the blocks. You have to work through the fear and get support. That is another thing. How do you know what to do, which direction? Let it be revealed to you. What are you drawn to? Let yourself move around in your life, even through different neighborhoods, you know, different activities, to see what you're innately drawn to without making the decision right away. Well, that's not going to make enough money. Oh, how am I going to support myself doing that? You know, money and support is all smoke and mirrors. You know, even somebody with the most stable, quote unquote, job or career, it can all be taken away. So, yes, you can work on having something that's more secure to you in your mind, but that's not where you want to start out, because that's what's going to harness the energy. Is the more inspired you are, the more fulfilled you are, that's actually going to draw more to you than any stable position could. All right, so 347-539-5122. Let's get to those callers. 206-422. Hello, you're on Awakening. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, 206. Hi, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi.
Did you have a question?
Carl Kalman.
Oh, Carl, you're here already. Oh, well.
I'm home, but I've been in here. But
anyway. You've got a different number. I've got some callers. I've got you coming on like 15 minutes. Is that cool?
Right. I know.
Good.
I'm listening to your show.
Perfect. Everybody, he's here. I'm so happy you're here. I've been so excited for you to be on the program. So I'll get back to you in a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Talk to you in a bit.
Yes.
Yay, he's really here. We're so excited because I don't know what happened last time. I don't know, some technology, something, I don't know, whatever. But anyway, he's here. Okay, let's get to 310-936. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle, it's Laura again.
Hey, Laura, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I hadn't planned to call back this soon, but I had a different issue that I've been thinking about this week.
Good, 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 good.
And
let me know. And I hope you... But go ahead. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. You can go ahead and finish what you're saying.
No, I was just saying, to remind to email your stories, how you've been impacted.
I'm calling because I have one of my brothers has been going through a particularly nasty divorce in the last 2 years. One thing I've been feeling that I think his ex-wife has been playing a big part in is I feel estranged from his kids, who I used to be really, really close to. Now, part of it is me being really busy with my work, getting myself together and things like that. But now that I'm feeling things are kind of working out for me, I want to reconnect with them. But, you know, I've tried a few things, but I'm not hearing back from them, and I'm just kind of like wondering what's going on and how to approach him.
The first thing that I hear is wait, and you know, I was saying at the top of the program how people are so triggered right now emotionally. And what it is, it's kind of like wrestling. You know, at some point people say enough is enough, or wait, something's off. I had somebody say that the other day, actually, and they kind of been... you know, we got to remember, see, we're going through the same changes that many people are. The only thing is we have awareness of what's going on in the big picture. And we're working through our issues. We have tools. And we have this whole belief system that is supporting the idea of growth, consciousness expanding. But other people are going through a lot of the same changes. It's not just that, you only go through this because you're awake or aware or enlightened or on a path. No, everybody goes through it. The energy shifts. They just are not necessarily knowing how to deal with it. So I'm feeling that with that part of your family. I feel like even your brother, I feel like they're going through individual changes that are affecting them, you know, together. Okay. So you're going to, you know, and sometimes it's easier to point fingers at other people, you know, we project out. But it's also because we've shifted. You know, any mm-hmm. divorce, any separation, it's not just one person.
Right.
You know, anybody
right.
cheating, it's not just the one that's cheated on. Both of those people, there's a dynamic. Something has created that outpicturing, that manifestation of events. What I'm hearing for you is if you keep in touch open-endedly, hope everything's fine, love to get together at some point, thinking of you, and leave it. Give them the psychic space to shift, yes.
Yeah.
And then
so
bring your energy,
like,
your attention. Yeah. No pushing. Right
yeah,
now,
okay.
the only activation we can do right now is for ourselves. We can call it like it is. We can tell somebody what we think or feel. But we really need to give not only each other, but ourselves, the psychic space to shift. We, in other words, if we don't allow space, if we don't allow the gap, which is always there, but to recognize it, we can't move towards something. So I feel your energy has kind of been hovering over them like a little helicopter.
Okay.
When are you going to change? When are you going to shift? When are you going to see me? When is everything going to be okay? And the other thing I'm getting is very busy. So I don't know if their life, I feel a lot of overwhelm around them, like scheduling
one. Yeah. Okay.
Is that true?
Yeah. I would say so.
Okay. So just allow it to be a little bit. I do see things turning around a bit sporadically, more April, May, and then I would say a little bit more into the summer months.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to invite, like, one of my niece to either a dinner with my friends or a movie or something like that. But, you know, it's like she hasn't responded to me in a while.
So. Yeah. Oh, and they're getting older, I'm thinking. I'm feeling too. Open-ended. Be nice to, love to do this, and then just let it be. But I'm feeling this is about you putting more of your focus onto your life.
Okay.
Your friends, you're unfolding. They'll come back around, but I don't know. There's a little. How are they teenagers? Or
actually, the two oldest are. There's one who's a teenager. The other ones are adults now. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay, because I'm seeing they're more independent, more active, having more mm-hmm. going in their life. So
yeah,
that even the teenagers.
They're on
so,
their
yeah.
own, so.
Yeah, they're, you know, life grows up around us.
Yeah.
So, but pull the energy back, allow the space, and bring your psychic energy back to you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
good.
That good?
Yeah, that is good. I was afraid I was focusing too much on myself and seeing, you know, things going on with them and hearing all this bad stuff. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, maybe I should, you know, let them have, no, there's positive people in their life and connect that way. But, you know.
But they know you're there. You know, sometimes people see the, sometimes you're holding the little, you know, dessert, the little creme brulee, and people are, oh, I wish that I had a creme brulee, and they're looking in the other direction. So just leave it there. Just leave it open-ended. Hey, thinking about you, love you, hope all's well, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Just drop it there and then focus back on your life. See, sometimes we have separation from people or separated out. I mean, we're never really separated because we're all interconnected because we're not that much resonance anymore. You know, I think that I had a sharing a few years ago, somebody that, through no fault of mine, I don't know what they were going through. We just weren't that much, you know, aligned as much. And eventually they were doing some things that I wasn't so much in resonance with, but I wasn't overtly saying, oh, I'm not going to hang out with this person or talk to them. And they were friends for 8-9 years. And they lived near me. And I, mm-hmm. when we were more in resonance, I would be walking my dog. I would see them 3 or 4 times a week, just out and about, walking, riding my bike, they're riding their bike, walking at the market, farmer's market, at Whole Foods. We're always bumping into each other. 2 blocks from me, not so much in resonance, didn't see them for a few years. Now we're more in resonance,
okay.
And so I see them more periodically. But that's why I said at the top of the program, see where you're naturally being drawn to. That's your higher self coming through, or the universe, God, the all that is, guiding you to what's most life enhancing. So if we would just do that, if you would just do that, every one of us, myself included, if we would do that more consistently, then our life would unfold in the way that's most life-enhancing, not only for us, but everybody around us. So if that door is closed right now, it's because there's not enough resonance. There's not enough coherence. In other words, it's not enough of a match. It's not life-enhancing enough for you. So it's like you're still connected, but there's not enough there to keep a consistent connection.
Okay. Okay.
All right, sweetie. Keep us posted. Blessings.
Thanks a lot, Michelle. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Hi, 484-714. You're on Awakenings. Welcome. Hello. 484-714. You're on Awakenings Radio. Okay, I'll come back to you. 917-692, you're on Awakenings.
Hey, Michelle, it's Marley.
Marley? Hi, Marley.
Marley.
Hi, I can hear you. Oh, Marley. Oh, Marley. Hi, Marley. Welcome.
It's Marley Kay. I don't know if you can hear. Can you hear me?
I can now. Yes, I can.
I am calling because I feel like I've been going through all, I'm getting very depressed, is the thing. And
okay.
I feel like, you know, I've been, everything that I've been attempting to do for the past 14 years, whether it's career-wise or romantically, I've been blocked. And I'm like, something happens, things don't fall through. Even at the stupidest, silliest little level, like, for instance, I was trying to, like, submit an application to a program today, and the website just would not work. And anyway, so, like, after all this time, I am just really reaching the end of my rope. I'm just, like, I'm totally, I don't know how to be patient anymore. And I'm getting really, like, I don't know what I should do. And I just don't know how not to give up because I'm feeling really like I'm about to just give up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm calling.
I've been there, and I'll probably be there again. when that happens, this is for you and everyone, you're about to have a breakthrough. It's a breakdown to break through. Usually this also happens, you just said you're working on patience. We have to become even more patient, and I would say receptive to what wants to come through us, even more than we did before in the old paradigm. The new paradigm requires us to be soul-led. And I'm saying this, you know, and I'm saying it, I'm listening to it for myself as well. Many of you may have known my story. It took me 8 months to find the house that I was in, that I'm in now. And I had to be out of my other residence. Isn't that interesting? Oh, my God. Listen to that Freudian slip. Other residence. I had to be out. Oh, my God. That's where I'm in. And that's what happens to us when we have to shift. We have to be out of that old residence. Then I find a place. I move in. And it took, well, I didn't move. It took a month and a half because they were doing upgrades to the place. And then I moved all my stuff in, but I couldn't live here because the upgrades were taking place and there wasn't the heater had to be put in. You know, it was just not just minor cosmetic. So I had to stay 5 days in a hotel. And, you know, I lost my pay. I was a little, you know, I had a little couple of frazzly times through this. And people are like, what's wrong? I'm like, what do you mean? What's wrong? I've been at the receptivity, my whole energy resonance did change where I'm living now. I can see now why I was guided here and why it happened the way that it did. So what I would say with you, and what it sounds like, wackadoodle, why would I do this? You actually need to become more receptive. You need to do more non-linear things, more things that are connecting you to the right hemisphere of the brain. Meditation, opening up, journaling, just aimlessly walking around, go for a walk in your neighborhood or a park or drive around in a different neighborhood. Usually when this happens, when we become stuck like this and we get depressed, okay, depression is unless it's something chronic, you know, clinical depression, is a depressing. It means your soul, the gap is calling you. On my Facebook page, I've written a lot about this. I have a couple of videos about talking about the gap. It's always there. It's in between what was and what is becoming. That's where creation is. That's where we receive our ahas or our insights. This is one of the reasons Einstein used to, you know, not just meditate, but daydream and take naps. So when you have this, everything's being stopped, that means you're too filled up with either preconceived ideas, notions, too busy, too active, too much. I would say look around your house, see things that you can let go of, get rid of, so you can allow the new, the space in. And calling in today like this is great. Get psychic support, you know, whether biographies of people that have, you know, struggled and made it or done something creative or whatever your interests are. Find people, situations that reflect that energy of, you know, overcoming and creating, you know, a life that they love, you know.
Because at this point, like, at this point, I feel like I'm going to scream. Like, I feel like I'm very close to doing something just, like, very dramatic, like, going into work and telling everybody, because this work situation is also very frustrating. So yes. I almost feel like I'm going to go into work and say, you know what, fuck you and goodbye and just, you know, walk off this job. I mean, it's taking every ounce of discipline. And I am a very disciplined person, but I really...
But that's not what I want you to do. I don't want you to have discipline. I want you to yell and scream, but not to them. You're triggered and you've been in a situation that's gone on too long. And haven't made the changes. It's not their fault, even though, you know, they're just doing them. They're just doing what they normally do.
Right.
So journals, go drive in your car and scream, take all your socks and throw them against the wall. Socks don't hurt the wall. You know, you can also throw shoes if you want, tennis shoes or whatever. Get the energy out, go to the gym, run, whatever. But you've got to move through the energy and allow what wants to come in, okay? So it just takes a while. As humans, we get ourselves in these pickles where sometimes it can be two things, though. It can be a timing issue. Sometimes we don't move enough, you know, we don't make the changes we need to make. We're slow in doing that, and we kind of miss the openings. But sometimes, unfortunately, it is a timing issue that, sometimes the way that we work is when things get to a breaking point, you know. So I so understand what you're saying, but your higher self is not going to want you to do anything rash. Anytime we do something rash, we're being triggered, whether it's overly positive or overly negative. It doesn't positive or negative trigger. It doesn't matter. You know, the triggering is there. Our decisions will come with a quiet calm, you know, even if they're fearful, like, oh, I don't know if I can do that or not. You'll feel a resolve, like, oh, okay, this is what I got to do, even though it's a little scary. So I'm not hearing that in you. I'm hearing you've been too long at the party, so to speak, and now you're wanting to leave quickly, and your ride isn't here yet. So
yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like, how much longer am I going to wait?
But it's how you wait. I'm going to suggest the book to you. I love this book. It's A Guide to the I Ching by Carol K. Anthony. She's been on the program before.
Oh, my God. I do that every day. I do it every single day, first thing in the morning. Okay? And because you talked about it and you had her on your show several years ago, that's why I bought it.
Okay. What have you been getting? What hexagon? What have you been getting? Which one?
Oh, it's gotten to the point where, like, I can tell what hexagram is going to be just from looking at the
numbers. Exactly, because you're working on the same thing. I hear you, girl. So
yeah.
you need to be receptive. Here it is. I said, here it is. The inner truth is also the higher truth we do not yet perceive. We can put our trust in this higher truth to show timing to show itself at the right time. To trust means that we suspend disbelief. And so,
right. Yeah.
I've been there and I said, I'll probably be there again. Hopefully it'll be easier for me the next time, but patience. Sometimes, let's see, especially our impatience with the length of time it takes to correct the situation. Sometimes we're angry at how much we must endure. When we do that, our higher self receives. So, you know, there's a saying, when fishermen can't fish, they mend nets. And I always say, well, when your net is mended and there's no mending, there's nothing to do, go out and get a cappuccino. Go out and get a tea. So you need to, you're working on patience. So that's where you're at right now.
Yeah,
all right,
well,
so keep us posted. Got to go to the next caller. We've got,
all
okay.
Right, thanks.
We got,
bye. Uh-huh,
bye-bye. Bye. Hi, 312-953, you're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. How are you? This is Carol.
Hi, Carol. Welcome.
Hi. I haven't called you in a long time, so I just wanted to call and get a quick reading. I needed to know, like, what do you see happening for me in this new year?
Well, that's a big question, and that we
yeah.
don't have time to go through everything.
Okay.
So go ahead and ask me a specific, and I'll zoom in.
Okay. Well, I always ask you about my career and my job, but listening to the last caller and your advice and everything to her, it kind of gave me some insight, so I'm happy about that. So, well, as far as doing fun stuff, we're supposed to go, well, let's just say this. My daughter and I are supposed to go to New Orleans later this month. So
nice.
I'm trying to find out, like, will I be doing more traveling or fun stuff like that? Because this is like, I don't do much traveling as is, but I really want to get out and do more traveling. Do you see me doing more traveling, or what do you see for me?
Yeah, I do, because you want to. I mean, that's the kind of common sense answer. But the one thing I hear from you, and I'm going to say it kind of goes to our last caller, and I'm sure a lot of people listening, you've been holding yourself back. And I feel some of it's been a money issue, you know, not wanting to
yes.
spend on yourself.
Yes.
So
yes.
I would say you have to give yourself permission. I'll give you permission now to spend more on yourself. Mm-hmm. And start it locally. Start it locally, going into different areas, looking around, maybe going to a gallery or museum. Start traveling locally around yourself. And I want you to write up also on a paper that you are going to, I am now traveling more and enjoying it and have the funds for it. And then I just want you to write out some places that you'd like to visit. Fold that paper, okay? And mm-hmm. you're going to put it under your mattress and just leave it there and sleep on it,
all right.
okay, and let it
all
gestate.
Right.
But that's what it is. Okay. You're letting the money hold you back, sweetie. But you have the, you can afford to travel. So
okay.
let's start locally, and then that'll extend out.
All right.
All right. Thanks
Thank
for calling
so
in.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Blessings. Hi, 267-777. You're on Awakenings.
Oh, it's Blair. Hello?
Hey, Blair. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I'll be really quick. I finally moved to New York. I've been here for about a month, but this this roommate situation is still hazy. Sydney wants to kick out my closest friend, Diane. Me and Diane have our two friends staying in the living room, Joanna and Eden. So us four decided to look for a four-bedroom apartment. So I'm just wondering, since Cindy wants us out by the end of the month, are we going to find something, or will we reach a resolution in regards to this whole situation?
Well, you're definitely moving, and I remember now your reading the last time I said you and the friend would end up moving out on your own from
right.
another person, that's coming back. You will, I don't know, I'm here 6 weeks, so I don't know how long it's been since you've been looking.
We
might
just
be
really started. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, so it might be 6 weeks. You might be a little over the deadline, but you'll be fine. You'll be a little testy, a little walking on eggshells, but you'll be fine. I do see you guys for sure moving.
So us four, because it's four of us now.
Whoever's moving, I see you moving out with that one friend from where you're living now. I do see you moving out. It might not be right exactly on the dot, the time you want. It feels like it could lag over a little bit.
Okay.
I'm hearing 6 weeks, but I am definitely seeing the move.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Blair. Keep us posted, and congrats on your move to the Big Apple.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Hi, 323-638, you're on Awakenings Radio.
Oh, hey, Michelle, it's me, Angela.
Hey, Angela, welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to give feedback on two things, and I have a question.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so I took a break from one friendship until I became neutral, and I'm fine with that one now, and it feels like I have a new friendship with that particular friend, and I feel that it would be more balanced as a result of how I've shifted. And the second thing is I just slowly start to branch out and explore so I can meet new people and try new activities. And the side effect has been that it's really been easy meeting new guys specifically. So both have been really positive experiences that you guided me to doing, and I'm glad I did, you know, both and doing both. My question, So I was wondering how to handle interacting with my sister. Yesterday she said something that upset me. She said that no one on this planet is more important to her than her baby. And she after I confronted her, I said that her message came off that really insensitive, and just it makes me upset, you know, because it just feels like, why even bother? You know what I mean? Like, just I was really upset. And she said, oh, well, I didn't get the message that it was important to have a pool fence. So she, but, you know, she felt like that was the only way that she could tell me how important it was. And I said, well, if you have trouble communicating with me, you could say that you have trouble communicating with me the importance of something. And I would, then I would know. But she does say snippy things to me, like, you know, making a negative remark about me having older friends. And then I told her, I have friends of all ages, and friendship, I mean, with friendship, age does not matter at all. And she said she still thinks it's weird. And last week, this guy asked me out, and she said, it's probably because I live in a decent house. But this, she never met him. And she
I'm going to jump in here because I want to get to our guests, but I also want to answer you. And I want to say the first thing I heard, stop trying to get her approval, her love through her approval. Stop. Yeah, you need to allow, and this is just the two callers before, there's a similar vibe. So there's something in the air right now. We do try to do, you know, the relationship issues. Sometimes we keep going to people that it's just not a match. It's not happening right now, you know, and spirit is trying to place other people in our life that are more of resonance. So it's not about cutting off, but it's seeing where we're naturally going to. You guys have, I don't know if it was a sibling rivalry all the way, but your energy is like two little porcupines sticking each other. And I'll be honest, if I tune into her, she feels very locked in her life, even though she looks like the secure one, the one that has it all, and she's got the baby, which is common for, you know, I've heard mothers say that, you know, even with their husbands, you know, the most important person in my life is my baby. You know, I kind of said a little bit about Yoshi, you know. It's Yoshi, my boyfriend, and me. But you need to do your projection perception, do your emotional clearing work to see why that's triggering you, what loss, what was going on parentally in the family of origin. However, what I want to say, even though she's putting you down, she feels very locked in, looks like she has it all, but she's in a little straitjacket in her life. And not too happy that she's done all the right things, but it doesn't feel so good because she's not totally connected to her soul. You need to, just on the inner plane, recognize her wounding, you know, admire her for where she's at. But when she's doing this, she's saying and doing this out of wounding. And you need to be allow yourself to be drawn to people that really get you and spend more time with those people instead of trying to get the people that don't get you to try to get you. Because the more you do that, the more... to make herself feel better, she's going to be throwing little harpoons at you, you know, little poisonous darts.
That's what it feels like. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, right in the third chakra, the inner child, the hottest. Yeah, it's in your sense of self, your personality. But I feel with you, you've got to let go of that, trying to get that approval from her, that attention, that approval. If you live your life more fully, more fulfilled, you're going to notice she will change. But right now the dynamic is she's projecting her unhappiness on you because you're the one, you know, that's up and down. You're, you know, you're a little different, unique, you're this and that. You've traveled over here, you came back, you do, you know. So you've got to stop taking that role. And the way that you do that is just allow the psychic space, you know, just let her be. And hang out and be with the people that are supportive of you right now, and more of a match, more life enhancing for you.
I love.
But
what
give her a little space.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Let me know how it goes. Give her a little space, though. She's a little cramped in her little world right now. Give her a little breathing room, and you may even find that she reaches out. Mm. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Uh-huh. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Keep us posted.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I love everybody making great changes in their life. And usually, you know, it seems simple, but it's always the interpersonal. It's the relationships. Everything is based on relationship. We're in this interrelational, interconnected world. All right. We have our time for our awakening dialogue. And as I had said at the top of the program, we have Carl Johan Kellerman with us. So happy, so excited that he's come back. I'm going to just tell you a little bit about him, those of you who are just now tuning in. He's got a background in the what we call the hard, I love this, the hard sciences. He's a PhD in physical biology from the University of Stockholm. He's written a lot of highly quoted papers in the fields of environmental science, toxicology, cancer research, and he's given lectures among places like MIT, Cornell, as well as the Chinese Academy of Preventative Medicine and the World Health Organization. About around 1994, he started devoting his time to understanding the Mayan calendar, and this has been a major focus for him. He has 4 books published on this. And in his estimation, his understanding and theory is the Mayan calendar is really about the evolution of consciousness, not necessarily about the world of phenomenon, but that it is a chronological, the evolution of consciousness. His latest book is The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. And I want to welcome to the program Carl Kellerman. Hi, Carl. Welcome to the program. Hello. Okay, well, he was here. Going back. Let's see. Carl, welcome. Maybe on mute. No, I unmuted him. I'm going to try another number. I can't believe it. Carl, where are you? Carl, did you step away from the phone? I know, Tamara's putting, uh-oh. I can't believe this, because last time, I don't know what happened. He got the time wrong or something. Let me see if there's another line, 505. 206-422, you're on Awakenings. Carl? Hello? Let's see, 206-422, you're on Awakenings Radio. Carl?
Yes.
I can hear you. Yes, you're on air.
Yes. I'm there.
Oh, great. Yeah. Hi, Carl. Oh, good, 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 good. Welcome. So glad to have you back. Especially with, it feels like there's been even more change. I don't know if it's because we're more aware of the changes now or what's going on. Are you seeing and experiencing more, I guess, consciousness shifting, or people becoming more aware now?
Well, I think it's a quite a complex situation, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In other words, when the sort of significant shift happened in the Mayan calendar a couple of years ago, nothing mm-hmm. really immediately happened or manifested of the shift. Now the shift is a metaphysical change. It's a shift that happens and that sort of allows for new possibilities of consciousness. But it was like the shift involved so many different levels of consciousness that actually my way of looking at it was that they almost went into some kind of a clinch where they got stuck in something, in each other, you might say. And it's only now, after a couple of years, that these different waves, different levels of consciousness have began to be disentangled, and we're starting to see the new possibilities that the shift has brought. But I think it's a complex situation, because really what the shift was the beginning of an opening up of a multi-dimensional reality in a way that has never existed before. And it's not something that happens on a day and everything changes in a day. It's an opening, the beginning of an emergence of something else. And so when you ask the question, if I see more spiritual awakening around me, the answer is absolutely yes. But if you would also ask, do I see more increasing conflicts in the world, I would at the same time say absolutely yes. It's not, in my view anyway, we have entered a multi-dimensional reality where we have the possibilities that didn't exist before to totally be in resonance with a frame of unity consciousness. And it never existed before, but we're only taking the first steps, and some people are exploring this and finding it and seeing that there are amazing new way of experiencing life, not just as a separate entity, the way we've been living our lives, like a me life, and seeing the possibility of a we life that ultimately it's emerging on a very large scale according to this divine plan that the Mayan calendar has outlined and has been describing for a very long time. So I really think that is something for people to step into that they could not step into only 3 or 4 years ago. And I, you know, if people felt that they went, you know, they tried something maybe 10 years ago or something, and they felt that it just ran into a dead-end street. Now, if you try again now, when the opening in the cosmos is actually there, you know, it's quite possible that it will work. But it's not something that changed once and for all on a date in 2011. No, it's something we have to continue climbing and we continue developing ourselves into a new frame of consciousness where we really will be able to manifest the new possibilities of our time. That's how I look at it.
Now, the Mayan calendar, this is, and I've never asked this question, much as I've talked about this with you and other people. When was it written or put together, and why? Why did they feel the need to, you know, chronicle this?
Well, I think all ancient peoples, they were dealing with how is humanity related to the divine? That's a question that they, were we related to creation? And they all sought through different language, you might say, through different filters, they sought answers to these questions. And you will find traces of the same kind of ideas in many of the old world religions. But when it comes to the Maya, this calendar system was developed essentially 2,000 years ago. And for them, it was mostly, I would say, they experienced much more fully than modern people mostly do. They experienced the energies of the dates. They experienced the energies of the time periods. And so based on these shifting energies, they developed what you might call a prophetic art. And it became the task of their shaman kings to prophesy, to see what was coming, to feel what was coming, and to the extent of their ability, be part of the changing times. They then developed a calendrical system that I would say encompasses all of creation from the very beginning of time, what the physicists now would talk about as the Big Bang, the first emergence of matter, so to speak, up until our own time and beyond. And I think for a long time, human beings have had filters that have been made them unable to listen to the spiritual callings of the divine. And for that reason, we're opening up to a new ability to listen to the divine, to develop a personal relationship to the divine. What that means is that we are also becoming more sensitive to these energies. And so for that reason, the Mayan calendar has had a resurgence, and because now people can actually experience that there is some kind of a reality to it. There was a few years, and it's just beginning, and it will, it's not something that happens in a day or two. It's something that will emerge over years, decades, and centuries. But it's there, it's real, and it does provide us with a new possibility of really looking at the world and ourselves as part of a unified structure that's never been possible before. And I think to the extent that we follow that, and we will be open to the guidance that lead us right in life where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do.
Yes, I feel in what you're saying that I think one of the differences that I see, because we had someone in the chat saying that, the focus on consciousness is for humans has been a long time. The one of the big differences that I'm seeing, and I wonder if you could speak to this, is that it seems to be moving more into the mainstream consciousness, more the mainstream awareness, and our systems are actually now starting to change. The ones that we've had since, Roman Greek times, is that part of the shift, is actually shifting the systems that we're in, whether relationships or organizations, banking? Will that actually, will we see a time where that is, had a, a huge change?
Oh, absolutely. I think what is on one level happening right now, because of the shift, is that many of the structures that have held us together in different nations and organized with certain governments and so forth are starting to loosen up, not being destroyed catastrophically, but they are loosening up. And this is actually a reflection of the change that we're all undergoing. The shift in consciousness that happened was a global shift. There is a global mind that we're all connected to. And that's really what is shifting. Now, if the global mind is like everybody is shifting because they're connected to the same global mind. And that is sort of the structures that this global mind has given us for a long time. Mm-hmm. are now starting to loosen up. And there are risks for that, of course, as you can see in the Middle East, where it's very obvious how these structures of nations and governments are loosening up. But there are also possibilities for it, because it means we can also, we don't have to separate ourselves in the way that we've done in the past, in different nations, in different classes of society, etc., etc. Loosening up, that's possibility, but it's also risk. It all depends. We it's so much up to our choices. And
So, and this brings us to your book, because your book is The Global Mind and Rise of Civilization. So what I'm hearing underscored in that is even more of a realization for everybody about this interconnectedness.
Yeah.
Is that, and you call Rise of Civilization. So how do you see the two connected? You know, what is the global mind? How is it informing us in this rise of civilization?
Well, you know, when I talk about the rise of civilization, I primarily talk about the time about 5,000 years ago when the first civilizations in a real sense emerged on our planet.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is that civilizations that, you know, built cities, that built pyramids, that had a system of government, of distribution of labor, that had writing, numbers, beginning technology, you might say, and so forth. Now, why did this happen? I mean, 5,100 years ago, there is a dramatic change going on in the world, in the sense that almost at the same time, in widely different parts of the world, people start to build pyramids, people start to build cities, and so forth. And this is has been an enigma. Why did it happen? And so my point of departure of trying to explain why this happened, which is really the beginning of all the evolution of civilization that we've had since, my point of departure is the fact that the Mayan long count, a very significant calendar system that in ancient times the Maya were always using, that began at that point in time. But not only that, you know, in other cultures you find the same thing. In India, they talk about the beginning of something they call the Kali Yuga, the new era of time. And in China, in Chinese tradition, this was the time when legendary emperor, you might say, called by the name of Fu Xi, you know, he invented the I Ching and the system of I Ching and developed civilization. They credit him with as the father of their civilization. But they all point to the same point in time. So something must have happened at that point in time. And
do we know what? What do you suppose would happen?
Well,
what do you suppose happened at that time?
Yeah, let me just make this point first.
If
this happened at the, it's so different cultures that presumably at the time had no contact with another, point the same time as the beginning of civilization. It must have been a global change. It must have happened. Something must have happened on a global level, not just by accident happening at the same time in so widely different parts of the world. And what happened is that, in my explanation, is that the global mind was activated. Before this point in time, people really did not have the kind of analytical mind that was necessary in order to to create all these tools that gave rise to civilization. It was a mental shift, a global mental shift that preceded and paved the way and changed the people that lived at the time in such a way that they started to look at reality in a completely different new way. And as that happened, they became able to create all these things, these astounding pyramids, these first cities, and astronomical observation, and what have you. But then the primary change was the activation of a global mind that allowed them to see reality in a completely new way, with structure and that's what happened. That's what gave rise to civilization. Mm. And then ever since, it has been evolving, because after this initial activation of this wave of a divine creation that we are part of, there's been a wave movement that has continued, and which has given rise to the rise and fall of civilization. They haven't stayed stable, so to speak. There's been upturns and downturns because it's a wave movement. Some civilizations have disappeared because sometimes there are downturns in this wave movement, and so forth. But I think ultimately we're all part, our mind is all part of a divine plan that has created a global mind that we're all part of.
Mm-hmm. So that's so interesting. But there seems to be, it seems like we're in another activation mode, and I'd even say acceleration mode. There seems to be an acceleration taking place, right?
Yeah, and absolutely a new possibility, the one of unity consciousness, because, you know, these 5,000 years of the way the mind was structured in these 5,000 first years of civilization, it created a lot of separation. In order to create the civilization, the human mind needs to be able to have discernment, to separate in the mind at the very least. That's how you do it. But there's a negative side to that also, because this has created all the fighting, all the oppression, all the class systems, et cetera. And what is really emerging now after the shift is that we have a new possibility, which is a mind that no longer is dominated by this separation. And this will accelerate. We will experience this more and more, and we will see it to the extent that we co-create with other people who are on the same wavelength as this called. You know, when we talk about wavelengths, we're actually just talking about these different waves that the Mayan calendar described.
Hmm. Now, tell me more about this. Everything happening in waves. So, are we manifesting, co-creating, is it wavelengths? What is exactly?
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, the ancient peoples really looked upon it as waves. But not everyone, you know, we don't always understand the kind of symbols they used to do that. For instance, in the Mexican or the Mayan traditions, They looked upon the primary creator of civilization, they said, was something they called Quetzalcoatl, or the plumed serpent, which was really just a...
What is it? Say it again. What is it, Carl? Could you repeat that again? What is it called?
It's called, in Aztec language, it's called Quetzalcoatl, and it translates to the plumed or the feathered serpent, which is really just a symbol of a wave flying in the air, so to speak, much like radio waves, but it's a different kind of wave. And the Chinese have the same symbolism, really. Their initial creator of civilization is sometimes Fuxi. He's sometimes portrayed as a serpent. So they have the same idea that there were waves. The serpent is a symbol of the waves of creation. But there are different waves. There are nine different major waves. And the way the universe, the evolution of the universe, or the evolution of humanity, is like a climb of these nine terraced pyramids that the Maya would build. We climb into higher and higher levels of consciousness. And each level of consciousness develops with a wave that has a certain frequency. And as we climb to the highest levels, the waves with the highest frequencies are being activated. So that's why some people say that we need to raise our frequencies, to raise our vibration. Well, we need to be in resonance with the highest frequencies of creation. That's what I would say. Because it's only those that are generating a unity consciousness, which I absolutely think is the future of humanity, and the only one that really brings joy.
So it's interesting, this wave. So it does, to me, connotate that there is ups and downs within this, within our own life, and then where the universal or world manifestation of this. Because I think a lot of times people think it's going to be one big something or something all of a sudden. You know, they're waiting for one big something. So what I'm hearing you say, there really is not one big something. It's a succession of things.
Right. Yes, it is. And it will never be one big thing changing everything for the better or something like that. What it is that new possibilities have emerged, but they will have waves as well. You know, upturns and downturns and so forth. That is, as you're saying, our lives have these upturns and downturns and upturns and downturns, and that's more or less built into the way the universe is created, I think. And I think we should really just enjoy the ride, enjoy the surf of these waves. And not cease to be amazed of how intricately, amazingly, intelligently designed this universe is.
So, what would you say? What do you see next? Is there, by looking at the Mayan calendar, where we're at now, and where do we seem to be going in the next wave? Is there a way to determine some of the things that we'll be experiencing in this global mind shift?
Well, I think it depends on where we're coming from. And you know, there are the nine different levels. And we can be in resonance with each one of these different levels. And our life and the direction that our lives are taking would depend on which ones we're in resonance with. And so I would encourage people to do what they can to develop this kind of unity consciousness that is carried by the highest of these waves. I cannot tell, you know, what exactly at this point what will happen in the world. Because it depends on the choices to a large extent. All I can say is that now, after 2011, for the first time in human history, the whole spectrum of nine different waves is available to us. And the highest of these waves is has only been in going for maybe three or four years, and that's the one that can bring like a return to the Garden of Eden, if you like. This is, that's the one that holds the promise for humanity. And to what extent people are able to do this or choose to do this, it's not something I can answer. I just want to emphasize,
well,
now it is available.
Yes, not specific, it's available, not specifically, but are there areas that we, that will be, that seem to be affected? We do see, you know, uprisings happening more. There seems to be a lot of the injustices being made more known, you know, government, church and state, police against, you know, kind of the everyday people, the community, food, things that must. So there seems to be kind of like, I always kind of look at it like just putting a stick in a beehive. There seems to be, you know, the bee's nest. There seems to be a lot of stirring up right now for awareness of what isn't working.
Is
that something that they figured in, the Mayans figured in, that this would be a part of it? Okay.
Yes, because, you know, if you are in resonance with the highest wave, in other words, that you're in resonance with the unity consciousness, it means that you will start to see everything as connected to everything else. Now, that means that a change has happened to you, will happen to you, where you see things differently. You no longer want to accept the things of these, the injustices or inequalities that have, even if they have existed for a very long time, you are now at a higher state of consciousness, a unity consciousness, where you see things. You know, you're not necessarily able to do something about that, but gradually more and more people will see things differently. And as that happens, we're paving the way for what I would call a return to the Garden of Eden, a unity state where, you know, we just able to be with everyone else and everything else that exists. The shifts that happen on a global level, our perception. It allows us to see reality in a way we didn't do before. And that has consequences. Once you see things differently, you cannot just accept them exactly the way you used to.
And so this ripple effect, and I know so many are trying to say, you know, how long. I definitely do see that it's rippling. It seems we're right now living on one level, Carl, and it's so interesting because sometimes you say this even, it is, you do see it, and then in some ways we don't. It seems like on one level we're living out more of the extreme polarity. But then on another level, many communities such as this, in internet-connected communities, there's less extreme polarity. So it seems to be a bit of both, like, right?
I agree, and that was exactly what I said at the beginning of this discussion. And the reason that I think is behind this is that people are in resonance with different levels of the Mayan evolution of consciousness. Some people are still in resonance with this polarizing mind that sees sort of good and bad in everybody else, and then they will recreate this and create polarities and conflicts and extremes and so forth. But at the same time, the new possibility of the ninth wave, the highest wave, brings, as you were saying, it brings also at the same time people to experience the unity and see things from a new perspective, a perspective of love, really, where you love existence, you love everyone else, you love this creation. But that requires of you that you sort of lift yourself above dualities and polarities of the earlier levels of the mind.
Yeah, it's the playing out, and I find sometimes in a way it's not good to go too into the future, because I like what you're saying, that there is this mutability. We don't know. There can be a leap depending on, you know, that whatever that tipping point is that we don't know, you know, that the tipping to turning point. We don't know what it will be. How do you feel one of the best ways people can deal with the changes? I'm sure you heard on the program, so many people, and I definitely see it. I've been doing not only this program for a long time, but I had another, you know, actual television show where I interviewed people, and I definitely see more mainstream people waking up, you know, you want to call corporate or whatever, than ever before. And more people asking, I want a better life. I want more fulfillment. You know, even moving out of focusing so much on money, they're saying, I could do with less to be more fulfilled. I want a happier life. I didn't hear that in the mid-90s, and even I would say up until about...
Right.
Literally, I see the shift probably started around, in a big way, probably 2010, 2011. So there is a decided change.
Yes.
What are, you know, I'm assuming that's part of it. That's part of what's happening,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, I enjoyed listening to this show, the first half of your show, and very interesting to see, to hear that what people were bringing up, and I felt you dealt beautifully with it. You know, what am I telling people? Basically, I'm telling people, first of all, that now there is a new possibility, and you know, here we just sort of in our discussion, you and I, now we're talking about kind of abstract things or just in general and so forth. But you know, for those that read my book, they will see that this is not sort of just a spur-of-the-moment idea or sounding good or something like that. It's something that's very, very well verified throughout history, these kind of shifts in consciousness that the Mayan calendar describes. But coming back then to the question, suppose people want to go into this new possibility, which is the possibility of unity consciousness. And I think the first thing is to know about that, the existence of this possibility. The second thing is to really just ask yourself, is this what I want? Because there are certain aspects of it, you know, your ego will have to pay a price for going into this, because you can't emphasize yourself as much as a distinct personality or whatever. There is a certain kind of a price. But on the other hand, there is the possibility of a completely new kind of joy if you're able to go into it. And it's not something, I believe, that, you know, you make the change at one day, once and for all, and then, you're just in that state. Something it's a path that we will have to continue to reactivate ourselves. We have to reactivate the unity consciousness in ourselves all the time, and that you will have to. Usually, I think you will have to have support in one way or another. And you know,
I like what you're saying. Reactivate it. So it's not just kind of something happens and we're sitting on our laurels. We're actually having to reinforce it, reactivate it. It takes a cultivating, is what I'm hearing.
Yes. Again and again and again and again. It's not a problem to me that I sometimes fall back in other levels, because, you know, that it's the joy of living. It's just a
doing it again, and the more you are able to reach this higher vibration of being in the world, you will enjoy life more. But coming back to it, is that, you know, there is this large number of the what you might say personality development programs or spiritual development programs and so forth that were developed, you know, in the 1980s, 90s, the 2000s and so forth. But there are a couple of things that I want to emphasize that I think is now new, adding this or strengthening this possibility. And one of the things is that I think people should cultivate their relationship to the divine, personal relationship to the divine, and in such a way that they can truly be guided by the divine into whatever they're supposed to be and do. And why is that? Well, you know, we're talking about an evolution of consciousness of a tremendous complexity. And our little minds and brains, we can't fathom.
We can't comprehend.
And we can't really, if we sort of operating from separation, we don't really know what we're supposed to do. What is the next step?
And so true. I agree with you. We have to take that. You know what, Carl, we're out of time. Love to have you back again. I'll have Sadie connect with you. Want to let everyone know. We've been talking with Carl Johan Kellerman, and the book is The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. Amazing read, amazing insights. And Carl, thank you so much for taking time to be with us.
Thank you.
We'll have you back. You bring such insight, research for insight, and I love what you were saying about the meditation. We have to be receptive. We have to get in that receptive mode. Powerful.
Yep.
That is part of that evolution of consciousness that you speak of. Thank you so much for being on the program. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Me too. Oh, I enjoy talking with him. All right, everybody. If you just were tuning in or switching, you know, surfing the internet and you logged on us from the net, the Awakenings radio program every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific time, beginning half of the program, we have little chats, sharing some insights, readings, answer questions. And as always, we have an awakening dialogue with amazing guests. This week, we were talking with Carl Johan Kellerman. You can reach him at kellerman.com, kellerman.com. And his most recent book is The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. You guys rock. You're amazing. I love it, too. You get, just like one of our callers, got me I Ching, you know, you guys are really walking your talk and living more soul-expressed and soul-led. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. To create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.